red-blooded human obviously has its disadvantages.
So, are you keeping the commandments?
Yes.
You're keeping the commandments?
I try to.
Trying is not the same thing as doing it.
Are you? You said you have to maintain your salvation?
Well, yes.
How do you maintain your salvation? What do you have to do in order to keep yourself safe?
You can't smoke. You can't go to movies. You can't do this. You can't do that. Is that what you want?
Let me ask you, do you believe that you have to keep your position with God by how good you are?
Absolutely.
Do you have a headache? Did you have a headache by any chance? I'm getting one listening to you.
Good.
You said you have to maintain your salvation?
Well, yes.
How do you maintain your salvation?
Well, I just told you. You have to live a good, clean, holy life and grow in Christ.
Live a good, clean, holy life. So,
without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord.
Okay, let me ask you. Do you really believe in your own heart that you're going to be able to keep all the commandments? Yes.
Wow. You are in error. You are imperfect.
All right, everybody, how are you doing? It's Monday, and I've been struggling with something over the weekend, and I'm probably going to end up in a rant here in a little bit. Cameron, the producer of the show, loves it when I go into rants. He gets things are exciting and fun, and I'm going to lead into this one a little bit slowly. It's on an old topic. Been talking about this for a while, and but before I do all that, before I get into the rant tonight, give some information. If you want to call folks, get in line to, oh, there's no line right now, 877-207-2276. That's a toll-free number. If you're just new listening, I'm a Christian apologist. Apologetics is that branch of Christian theology that deals with the defense and the establishment of the Christian faith. What I do is take the Bible seriously, unlike a lot of people. I believe what it says is true, unlike a lot of people who claim to be Christians. Of course, they pick and choose what they want to take seriously. They pick the essentials. And half the time I wonder if it's so they can get into the Christian club and start being socially fun and be able to do this stuff and gather people around them. They can teach whatever they want to teach and certain parts of Scripture they don't want to listen to. And, you know, my wife and I have been discussing this a bit about me trying to be nice to people. Yeah, I need to be nice, you know. I call up on the radio show, people call up, you know, and I call them a heretic half the time because, you know, I get challenges, and that's the way it is. Of course, you got to do a little radio, you know, make it entertaining. But, you know, I try to be nice, and I'm a good counselor. I love it when people call up and I get to counsel them about the things in their life, personal issues, not necessarily doctrinal, you know, and I'd love to have a segment where, you know, people call up with their problems, personal kind of problems, and apply Scripture to them. That'd be fun. I like that kind of thing. So I can be nice, but, you know, sometimes it's just necessary to just crack some heads because you got to do this. Being nice is good, but not always. Sometimes being nice is harmful. Sometimes being nice is deadly. You know, sometimes we got to say the truth. And, well, something happened this weekend. Not something, but some things. So I'm bored this weekend, and this is on, here we go. I'm going to tell you what it's about, women pastors. My wife and I are sitting around. I'm like, hon, hey, you know what? I'm bored. You want to take a drive, go do something? So she wants me to go shopping with her, you know, grocery shopping. I get to push the cart around, and she just, you know, I just follow her around, and we talk and stuff. So we went to a coffee place to get a coffee because we're both tired. And I wanted to get something that was going to just jolt me awake, you know. So we're sitting there. And I'm in the coffee place. And I see this, you know, three people, two guys and a girl. And they are sitting there and talking. They got a Bible open. Oh, cool, you know. Oh, cool. And so I always love to stop and talk to people who got Bibles. And, you know, I love the Lord, you know. And, hey, what church you go to? You know, because we're looking for a church. We're in between churches right now. And, oh, you know, this guy's he's coming out here to be a pastor of a church, which is cool. And he used to be a pastor of a vineyard church, he said. Oh, okay, well. And I said, let me ask you a question. Is it true? Because I was just curious. I wasn't starting any fights. I was just collecting information. Isn't it true that the vineyard is ordaining women more and more and more? He says, oh, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, sure. Like it was no big deal. And my wife's sitting next to me looking at me, you know, like here goes Matt again. Okay, thank you for the information. And the girl that was with them, you know, she looked at me when I said that, you know, and I said, they're looking at me, staring at me, like, why would I bring that up? And I said, you know, I'm concerned about the Christian church and its orthodoxy and believing things that are really true and biblical, and the Bible, you know, negates the idea of women pastors and elders. And then this girl just turned away, opened a book and started ignoring me. And the other guy was just sitting there, you know, he smiled, they're all polite and everything. And the pastor dude, you know, he didn't really say much. And not knocking the guy, he's looking a really nice guy, love the Lord. But, you know, I'm just talking to him about it and said, you know, I'm just concerned about this issue, that people aren't believing what the Word of God says in this issue. It's just surprising to me. And he obviously didn't want to get into it, and I really didn't want to either. But, you know, okay, well, thanks, you know, but thanks, nice meeting you, talking to you. So I turned to my wife, and she's talking to another couple. There's a daughter and a mom. And she had this conversation. I forgot how it connected. But at any rate, so I ended up talking with them all. You know, we talked about 20 minutes. Really nice couple. I mean, the mother and daughter, really nice folks, really, seriously. And we got talking about the book, The Shack. And they thought the book, The Shack, was really great, which to me is disturbing because, you know, it violates Scripture. I mean, blatantly violates Scripture on the nature of God. And you know, the woman said, well, it's just a metaphor. Well, you don't violate Scripture anyway. You ain't even a metaphor. But I was just trying to be nice and not be confrontational. And so there, the church this person goes to, women pastors, that's fine. And I was really intrigued by this. And because here we are, you know, within 10 minutes, two different groups of people. Oh, of course women pastors are fine. And so I'm talking to her, you know, and trying to ask why. I'm not trying to be confrontational, just, well, you know, I'm just curious. I'm really gathering information about this. It's really becoming a really interesting topic to me more and more. Well, you know, the Bible says we're equal and blah, 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 okay, various things. And I said, well, I'm curious because the Bible says, and I probably was able to say this, and I was saying this not to attack, but I said, the Bible says that the elder, and the pastor is an elder, is to be, literally in the Greek, a man of one woman. Now, it talks about Titus, and, I mean, 1 Timothy 2:12, where it says, woman, you know, Paul does not allow women to teach or exercise authority over men because Adam was created first. Ties it in with the created order, not a cultural thing. It's an issue of authority. It's just the way it is, not for a position for a woman. So I'm curious, what do you do with that? And she said, well, I don't think it's all that important. If I remember correctly, I'm trying to misrepresent her, but the best of my recollection, if you know, that's what she's saying. It's there's other more important things to deal with. And this fascinates me. It absolutely fascinates me. You know, the Bible says, for example, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not forsake the gathering together of the body of Christ. Basically, that's the only place you find an admonition to go to church, to have fellowship, to be together, you know, the body type thing. And people say, well, it only says it one place. And I say, well, how many times has God got to say it for it to be true? Just once? That's good enough, isn't it? Doesn't have to be 20. If God says it once, that's it. It settles it. And so, you know, I'm trying to be really nice. I'm straining. Because to me, this is a rebellion against the clear teaching of Scripture. And if God says something and just says it, then who are you to sit there and say, well, it's not that big of a deal? Well, yes, it is. If God says it, it is a big deal because He said it. You have no right to say it isn't a big deal. And you have no right to subject the Word of God to your feelings and your preferences. No right at all. Now, this woman was telling me in the same coffee shop that too many people are doctrinally minded, too doctrinally minded. You know, I told her I was a Calvinist, and she says, you're not like any other Calvinists I've met. You know, because I'm nice, and you know, told her I believe in the charismatic gifts and, you know, and all this stuff. And we had a nice conversation, really. We prayed together afterwards. She's a really nice lady. It went well. But I was very much disturbed by this, a second attitude right away, that it's okay for women to be pastors and elders. Let me tell you, it's not okay Now, let me just interject this. I formally offer I'll debate anybody here in Treasure Valley on this publicly at your church. I'll formally debate it. You want to say it's okay? You do it from scriptures. I'll do it from scriptures. Let's go back and forth. We'll have a formal debate. Now, anyone going to accept my challenge? No. No one's going to accept my challenge. But that's okay. It's out there. I think it's an important issue. Even though I think most people who hold to that position, who don't say it's important, are in serious error, are seriously wrong, and are doing damage to the church. All right, so I'm talking to this person. My wife's there, and we're trying to be cool, trying to be too offensive. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, you know, I got to handle everybody with baby gloves, you know, because if I say the wrong thing, they're going to be offended. Don't want to talk to me anymore. And I don't get that. Why is it you don't just believe what the Word of God says? Who gives a flying rip what your church says? If it contradicts the Word of God, they're wrong. Isn't it that easy for anybody? Is it that easy? Yes, it is. That's how it is for me. If they say in a church, homosexuality is okay, you're wrong. It's clear. You are wrong. It's okay to say you are wrong about this. If I went to a church and the pastor was saying, well, you know, as long as they're committed to love each other, it's okay. No, it's not. The Bible says it's wrong. It's settled. Now, I'm going to go into the biblical reasons why women cannot be pastors and elders. I'm going to prove my point. I'm not going to suggest it. I'm not going to say, well, hey, you know what, if you interpret it differently. No, they're all wrong if they disagree with this, because I'm going to read what the Word actually says. It's not a matter of interpretation. It's what it actually says. I'm going to show you. It blows me away. People just don't give a flying rip about these things that they don't think are important. But yet God has considered it important enough to write it down in more than one place. Who are we now? And who are the people now to say this is not important? Or to support churches who violate the Word of God? You know, I'm hoping you're driving, you're listening, whatever, and you disagree with me. These women pastors are okay. You know what? No, they're not. And I'm gonna explain why. But let me tell you, if I were to convince you from Scripture, would you still go to a church that had a woman pastor, women elders? If from Scripture I showed you, the Bible clearly teaches this, bang, 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 and they're violating that, what do you do? Oh, I'm still going to go to the church that purposely, willingly violates the Word of God in a clear teaching of Scripture. People say, well, it's not that clear, Matt. Yes, it is. Unless you don't want to believe it, unless you want to insert something else into it, unless you've got some agenda that you want to submit the Word of God to. You see, this stuff upsets me. It angers me. It's aggravating. Because I see the weakness of the church as it holds its finger up in the doctrinal wind to see which way secularism is blowing, and it creeps into the church. And then the Christians who don't take seriously the Word of God. Seriously. The Word of God. Most Christians don't know the difference between justification and sanctification. Imputation. Propitiation. They don't even know if Jesus is a man right now. They don't know jack. And they're going around saying, oh, I don't know, it's not important to me. You're right, it's not important to you. You don't even know anything. But as long as you can raise your hands and feel good in church, and that's all that really matters. You know, it's really tough. I mean, sometimes I wonder if I'm the one who's really wrong and everything, because this stuff bothers me. But it doesn't seem to bother that many other people. Sometimes I feel like Jeremiah proclaiming the truth and no one wants to listen. But what will people do? What are Christians going to do? They hear this message, say they're convinced. They're still going to go to their churches that hold to those positions in violation of Scripture. You know, I call you to repentance. I call you to believe the Word of God. I'm going to give the case here. I'm going to. But at any rate, so we get done with this conversation, and we're walking out the same coffee shop. Another woman is there with the Bible. Hey, how are you doing? I start a conversation with her. She tells about the church she's going with. She's got all this Bible study stuff out, and I just really enjoy talking with people, and we're looking for a new church, so I'm talking to her. What church you go to? She tells me the name of the church. Got the word Harvest in it. I'll just leave it at that. I just tonight checked out the website for it. Woman pastor. So I'm going home, and right down the street, a new church is starting. And they got a website up there. CelebrateLifeSomething.com. I check out the website. Woman pastor. What is wrong with these people? What's wrong with them? I feel like getting a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, doing a little apologetic on sticking to Scripture and what it says about this issue, and taking it to these churches and just stand out in front of the parking lot and hand them out to people as they go in. Hey, have you considered looking at the Word of God and believing what it says and dealing with it and calling your pastors to task on what the Word of God actually says? Or is it not important to you? Or if I got to deliver this message with such sweetness and ice cream flavor that everything is nicey-wicey and you're not offended by what I have to say? Look, let me show you something out of God's Word. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Pastors preach, don't they? Pastor automatically is an elder by this scripture, 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching, is what Paul says. Now, these are what's called the pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Pastoral epistles. Pastoral. What this means is, Paul's writing to Timothy and Titus saying, look, this is how you work in the church as a structure, with elders, with deacons, with bishops. This is how they're to be. He's laying out the instructions for what's to happen. What they're supposed to be able to do, their qualifications. He's telling us in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, he's telling us what needs to be in the church for men to do the job, the qualifications that the men need to have in order to get their jobs done right. They cannot be men who are easily angered. They can't be men who are just drunk. They can't be men who have children who aren't unbelievers. They've got to have certain qualifications. Never. Is it a woman described in this position? On the contrary, women are addressed in the pastoral epistles, and they are negated from being in a position of authority. 1 Timothy 5:17. Again, let the elders who rule well. Ruling is authority. You consider them to be worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Paul is telling us the elders are those who rule in the church. They're in a position of authority. They also, some of them, preach and teach. Notice how preaching, teaching, ruling are the elders' jobs. Different elders have different positions within them. Some are the ruling elders. Some are to be preaching. Some are to be teaching elders. Some have the ability to kind of do all of them. But this is what Paul said. Again, 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. It's not that hard. Is that hard? Is that difficult? The elders are to, I gotta hammer this down. I want people to get this. It's not that difficult. Now, the word here in Greek for elders in 1 Timothy 5:17 is presbyteroi. Presbyteroi. Presbyterian? Elders. And the ending is nominative masculine plural. What it means is, it's masculine. Now, in Greek, you can have a feminine ending to a noun, like, for example, the word actress. Obviously, the word actress signifies a single female acting person. Actresses is a plural female. Actor, single male. Actors, plural male in this context of showing this. You can do that in Greek. Same kind of a thing. The ending of the word shows plurality and gender. And it does this here. presbyteroi. The omicron iota ending is a plural nominative masculine. He's writing very specifically. It didn't matter what gender they were, he could use the neuter. And he does not use the neuter, because it's neither male nor female, in the eldership context as he's writing. He specifically uses the elders, the men, plural. It's like saying, let the older men, is what he's literally kind of saying. Let the older men who be worthy of double honor who preach and teach. That's what it's saying. That's the implication of the gender. It's like saying, let all the actors, and let the actresses sit down. It's like that. We would get that. He specifically is differentiating between the genders by using the words here. That's what he's doing. 1 Timothy 5:17. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to 1 Timothy 2:12. Now, then I'm going to go to Titus 1. 1 Timothy 2:12. But it's Paul speaking, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Is that pretty clear? Hey, to me, that's like, hey, should we let women teach or exercise authority over a man? Well, I don't know. I think we could. Why? Because I feel good about it. And you know what? It's not that important of an issue. After all, it's not that big a deal because we want to be equal, be nice for the ladies, let them get up there because some of them are better preachers. So let's not worry about it, okay? Even though Paul really did say that he does not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Well, hey, Ray, you know what? It's okay. Let's contradict Paul. Let's contradict what he says. And then in the contradiction, we'll justify the contradiction. Let's go out and preach to teach about Jesus, the love of Jesus, and the need for truth while we're contradicting his word. Openly, on purpose. Oh, but Deborah was in authority over men. Deborah was an Old Testament prophetess, a judge in the Old Testament, not an elder in the New Testament church. Aquila and Priscilla were apostles. Okay, apostles, not elder in the new church. But wait a minute, there's neither male nor female in Christ. Galatians 3:28. Fine. You know what? That's right. In Christ, in salvation, there's neither male nor female. But that's not a pastoral epistle verse. It's not a verse dealing with the eldership and the authority structure in the church. People do not know how to exegete scripture. They rip things out of context. They can't think their way out of a wet paper heresy. And these are the people who go to church, raise their hands, praise Jesus, and that's fine. It's great. And they don't take this seriously. Why? They're emotionally involved. They're emotionally involved with the pastor and the pastorette in the church. And you know what? While they're going to the pastorette sermon, they're looking at the book, the shack in their hand. It's not that important as long as I think and feel good about everything. Paul says, 1 Timothy 2:12, in the pastoral epistles where Paul is telling us how to behave in the church. You think I'm joking about that? Let me show you. Now remember, I'm reading 1 Timothy 2:12. I'm going to go to 1 Timothy 2:13 in a second. But you know what he says in 1 Timothy 3:15? This is the next chapter. So he's talking to 1 Timothy 2 about women. In 1 Timothy 3, he says this. But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. Unless it's the issue of pastors and elders and the issue of women. Because why? Because we live in a society that wants equality and the church is going to listen to the world. Paul has specifically said that what he's doing is telling people how to conduct themselves in the household of God, in that church. He's talking about elders, he's talking about bishops, he's talking about deacons and the qualifications of them. He's laying it down. If he's doing that, and he's setting it several times to do that, then it's not a debatable issue. It is not something that can be ignored. It is not something that we can feel our way through because we don't like what it actually says. Well, you know what? If you don't like what it actually says, take it out of your Bible, along with God's doctrine and teaching on predestination and election. Because most people don't like that because it makes them feel good either about themselves and how great they are. 1 Timothy 2:13. No, let me go 12 and 13. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. People say to me, oh, wait a minute, it's a cultural thing. No, it's not. He ties it in with the created order. He ties it in with the created order. Adam was created first. Has nothing to do with a cultural anything. If it has nothing to do with a cultural anything, then why is it the Christian church today is doing the cultural thing? They're not listening to Paul. They're in rebellion against this. They're in sin against us when they got a woman pastor in their church. That's right, in sin. Because they're violating the Word of God. It's clearly taught. People might say to me, wait a minute, Paul says, I do not allow a woman, but maybe somebody else can. Duh. I've actually heard this. I want to walk up and slam upside the head. Just come here, close. Paul, the apostle called by Jesus, is laying out the pastoral epistles, writing inspired word, and you're going to say something like, well, he said it, but maybe someone else might say something different. What? If Paul the apostle were writing, we're alive today, and he's writing to a church, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority for men. Adam was created first. What are they going to do with the woman pastor? If a woman pastor's right there, and they get to church, hey, Paul just sent us another letter. Let's read it. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. But look at her. What are you doing then? Oh, well, it doesn't mean that. It means what I want it to mean. It means what I need to have it feel to mean. Matt, you're too divisive. Matt, you're too focused on this. Matt, you're just too much into this. Why don't you be more tolerant? Forget it. Why don't you be more loving? Know what? It's not going to happen. Look. The issue here is truth. Truth. How many of you out there would prefer to sacrifice God's truth for your feeling of comfort and let's get along? Not me. Maybe I'm lacking in some areas of compassion. Maybe I'm lacking in some areas of lovey-dovey, nicey-wicey stuff. Maybe I am. But I'm not lacking when it comes to understanding the Word of God and what it says about issues, various issues. God has called me to do this. It's what I do. I'm telling you. The church is better. It's got to get its act together. Denominations more and more are compromising the Word of God. They're compromising the Word of God. They're compromising. It is a compromise to do this. Now, let's go to Titus chapter 1. Titus 1, verse 5. He's talking to, to us actually, but specifically to Titus. Verse 4. To Titus, my true child in the common faith, grace and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains, and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Literally what it says is, literally, I'm going to tell you what the literal Greek is going on here. Appoint elders in the church. Namely, if any man, it literally in the Greek, it's if any one, it's kind of neuter. It could be masculine, feminine, or singular, or neuter. If any one of you, that's what's going on. He must be above reproach. Then it says, the husband of one wife. What it literally says in the Greek is a man of one woman. Man, not woman, not neuter. Man, male, gender, man of one woman. Literally, that's what it is, and then translated into husband of one wife. Must be a man of one woman. A man who holds having one wife. Why? See, in the culture, men and women were married very quickly, very early, arranged marriages. That's how it was. That was normal. He's just talking the normal expectation of how it was in the culture. There to be these men, or they're married. One wife, not many. One. That's how it is. They have that. That's what it's talking about. Some people say to me, what if they're single? It's not talking about the context of being single. Talk about the context of marriage and the elders to be a man of one woman. Literally, it could be even a man who's single who holds to having one woman. Because this is what God has said. So in 1 Timothy 5:17, he said, let the elders who rule well be worthy of double honor, especially those who preach and teach. In 1 Timothy 2:12 and 13, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but remain quiet, for it was Adam who was first created, then Eve. Not cultural, it is doctrinal. For this reason, Titus 1:5, I left you in Crete that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Folks, where is the room in here for getting a woman in this position when the Bible specifically contradicts it? It assumes a natural order as a man in that position of authority. And it actually states a woman is not to be in that position. It states it. In 1 Timothy 2:12, what's going on with these churches? All weekend, everywhere I'm going practically, people, women pastors here, what is wrong with them? Why are they doing this? Why are they denying the Word of God? Why are they rebelling against the Word of God? I call all the pastors, I call the elders of these churches, you so-called women pastors out there who hold your position in error, that women can be pastors and elders, I'm calling you to the carpet on this. Why are you holding to this position when the Scriptures teach contrary to it? Why are you holding to it? Why? And if you think a woman pastor, elder, that's her job. So what? Get out. Get a man in the position and do it. And if they can't find anybody, then close the church down. Have everybody go to a church that teaches orthodoxy and sticks to the Word of God. Then raise your hands in joy and teach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody who would live. And don't compromise the Word of God, but live it according to what He's actually said. And believe the difficult things as well as the easy things and the nice things. This is not easy, is it? It's not popular, is it? That means a lot of the churches that are liberal in this area with a shutdown. Good. Praise God. Shut them down. You know, if you compromise in a little, you're going to compromise in a lot. It just is a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Now let me ask you, why is it that I drive down my street, new church, new sign, I check them out, wooden pastor. I go to a coffee shop, three people I meet right there within a half hour. Pastors are fine. I mean, women pastors are fine. One of them, I check out a new church, women pastors is fine. Why is that? I'll tell you why. They don't believe the Word of God, at least not in this issue. They don't believe it. They subject the Word to their feelings. They subject the Word of God to stupid exegetical procedures. I mean, real idiocy. Sorry, I am saying it. Yes. Is it insulting? Oh, well, I guess I'm just turning over the money tables, aren't I? Just making it real inconvenient, not being nicey-wicey. Look, it's what it says. And the church needs to repent of this sin. And men, you need to get off your butts and start acting like godly men. Doesn't mean pushing and shoving. But it means rising to the occasion that God has called you because you're male to be in the positions of authority in the church. It's not for the women to be in that position of authority. But does it mean that a woman can't do anything? Not at all. She could do everything. Except that. Could she lead in worship? Yes. Do counseling? Yes. Children's ministry? Absolutely. Teach Bible studies? Sure. Not in the position of eldership. Not in the position of that type of authority in the church, which is what Paul is talking about. Because he says he's talking about how it's to be done in the church. But you know what? These words just aren't easy, are they? No, it's not. The reason is because people have become calloused and comfortable in their heresies, in their compromise, and they think that God is approving of them. And as long as they're filling the pews and people are coming in and money's coming in the tithing plate, then it's okay. God's blessing them, right? People are coming in, right? I guess God's blessing the Mormon church. People are joining. Roman Catholic Church, which denies so many essentials of the faith. It must be good too, then. Now, what do people do? It would upset the apple cart if you were to say, of a real man of God in the pulpit said, we've got a woman pastor elder. I've examined the scriptures. It's unbiblical. We no longer have a woman pastor and elder. Finished. Half the church might leave over that. Praise God. Go to some liberal church where you can get your ears tickled. You cannot have a church if you're not preaching the whole counsel of God's word. Now, there's people who do this in error, sincerely in error. They're trying to honor God and they don't know things. Okay. If you're one of those, you're hearing this, check out the Word of God. Check out Titus and Timothy. Check it out for yourself. See what it actually says. See what it says. You got questions? Call me up. You want me to come out into your church and talk to you? Let's talk. I'll do it lovingly and kindly. On the radio, I got to rant. People like it when I rant. One-on-one, I'll be very polite. I'll help you see the Word of God. Am I right? Yes, I am. You think I'm arrogant? I'm not. I'm just telling you what it says. It's not arrogance. It's not pride. If anything, it's humility, because it's what it says. It's arrogant to subject the Word of God to your feelings, to your desires, to your mere exegetical errors. Folks, it's what it says. So, that's my weekend. And, you know, when God does this to me, He does it for a reason. When all of a sudden, everywhere I go, the same topic is at hand, I need to address it. Where do I address it? On my radio show. I just got to say, I need to be nice, but I just got to say this. Sorry. If you disagree with what the scriptures say in here, and what I've told you about this, you're wrong. Flat out. You are wrong. If you think you're right, then you deal with 1 Timothy 2:12-13. 1 Timothy 5:17. Titus 1:5-6. And you write me. Matt@carm.org. You write me and you say, hey, this is why, Matt, you fail to understand the proper issue. Go ahead. I dare you. Do the study. Tell me why 1 Timothy 2:12, when it says, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, really means it's okay to have a woman teach and exercise authority over men. Tell me why. Tell me why it really means the opposite of what it actually says. Tell me why in Titus 1:5-7, it says that the elder is to be a man of one woman. Tell me why it really means it could be a woman. A woman of one woman? Tell me why. It doesn't mean what it says. I dare any of you to do that. Sometimes I feel like I got a small light on a big, dark hill in the middle of the night and no one cares to look in my direction. Why? Because I'm holding it up saying, folks, I know this issue seems like a small issue to you, but you know what? It's still the light of truth. And here it is. And this is what needs to be proclaimed along with every part of Scripture. This is what it says. Come, listen to the Word of God. Come, believe the Word of God. Come, hear the Word of God. Come, believe. And what do? They turn their backs. Why? They've got other sounds they want to hear. The secularists, the liberals in the churches, and the feelings of their own hearts that make them feel good. The all-inclusiveness, get everybody in. Yeah. Feel good. Matt, you're just not nice, and you don't make me feel comfortable. Too bad. I will stand on that hill, and I'll preach the Word of God, and I'll hold that light up if nobody ever listens and nobody ever cares, because I have to answer to God, and I'm going to answer to Him, not you. I don't give a flying riff about what your feelings are in this regard. God says what He says. I'm proclaiming it. If you don't like it, turn a channel. I don't care. Go find someone who will make you feel good. But if you want the Word of God in seriousness and truth, then open it up, read it, believe it. And you call your pastors, your elders who believe this crap, and you tell them, this is what the Word says. I want you to believe it. You hold them to it. That's what the church needs to do. It needs to start in its own house. We start getting our act together, believing the Word of God. in the difficult issues, then we're going to be able to start handling the secularists. That's what's going to need to be happening. We need the power of God. We won't be able to get the true power of God while we are in violation of His Word. 877-207-2276. Please feel free to give me a call, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Even change of topic is fine. Let's get to Art from Nampa. Hey, Art. How you doing?
Well, hello, Matt. Does that mean that Joyce Myers is not your favorite pastor?
You know, to be honest, I don't know very much about her. I've only heard her in passing a couple of times. I don't know if she holds a position of a pastor and an elder. If she does, then she's wrong.
I'm teasing you, Matt. Okay. I'm just being sarcastic. Oh, okay. Anyway, I do agree with you 100%, and you did make your point about women not being in the headship over men. I agree with that from a scriptural point. I did want to change the subject, though,
sure,
because you did make your point. Last couple, I'm kind of a new listener,
all right,
but the last couple of weeks you've been I've heard you talk about Revelation chapter 17, 1 through 6, the Bible calls the harlot.
Yeah, Catholic Church,
and
maybe.
And so forth. And, right, you know, I was born and raised a Catholic.
Oh.
And, you know, I got all that Dominum Nosco Viscum, all that stuff when I was a kid. And got the beatings from the Catholic nuns, poor women, you know.
Really?
They beat us all. You big, long sticks and clubs and so forth. But by the grace of God, I got saved when I was 34. So
praise God.
That's a big plus. But, you know, the thing about that Catholicism, and I've heard you go off on that a few times, you know, some of the Catholic folks that I've met, I'll tell you what, some of them have gotten, and not that it makes them right, but some of them have got some morals that are sometimes better than some Christians. And
same with Mormons. Oh, yeah. And Jehovah's Witnesses sometimes. Yep.
Oh, absolutely, Matt. Absolutely. But the thing is with that Catholic hierarchy, it's the Catholic hierarchy. And a lot of these Catholic folks, I've got a lot of Catholic friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just deceived. They get that Mariology stuff in there, embedded into their head, and they just can't get it out. And so the only thing I can do for myself is to show kindness to them,
mm-hmm,
and try to present the gospel when I can. And and another issue I kind of wanted to get off on, and you're talking about how you've seen the decline in the churches today.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them is the issue with women and a lot of other things. And one of the things that I've seen in the last 20 years, Matt, is that legalism has crept in, mm-hmm, in the last two or three decades. Mm-hmm. You know, we're such a performance-based society as it is anyway. And people get saved and they don't get discipled properly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're performance-based anyway, and you get into church and you think you have to do this, that, and the other thing in order to be a good Christian.
Yeah, you're right, Art. That's what I say on the radio frequently. Do you have a comment or do you have a question? Or?
Well, and I kind of wanted to agree with you a little bit on some of this stuff. I did have a comment on what you said about with Adam and Eve. I think I have to question, and maybe I'm incorrect on this, but I question what you said about Adam being in authority over Eve,
mm-hmm,
prior to the fall.
Yes.
I think I have to disagree with you on that, because they were both made in the image of God,
mm-hmm,
although God did make Adam first, and then he made Eve from, mm-hmm, from his rib. If you go over to Genesis chapter, I think it's 3 and 16, it wasn't until after the fall that God said, and I'll read the last half of the verse, it says, "Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee."
Mm-hmm.
So I did have to disagree with you, because I think when they were first created, they were pure and they were holy, and they had complete fellowship with God. But I don't think that.
Well, let me ask you: do you think that the marriage relationship that they were enjoying then, before the fall, is the same that Paul would teach in Ephesians 5? Do you think the nature of marriage has changed?
Well, that could go two different ways, I think, Matt. The principle is the same, yes. However, I think that the purity of their marriage was indescribable.
Let me ask you. Paul says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Do you think that doesn't apply to Adam and Eve in the marriage context?
Before the fall, I don't think it did.
So then when Paul says, for the husband is the head of the wife, Adam was not the head of the wife before the fall?
It doesn't appear to be that way. I think that the purity and the holiness was so absolute at that particular time, Matt, that principle did not apply until after the fall.
Okay, now, Eve was a helper to Adam, right?
Yes. Okay. I will make thee a help meet.
Right.
And that's an old English word for to be worthy of.
Okay. So who named the animals, Eve or Adam?
Adam did.
So he had the authority to do that.
Yes, he did.
So there's an authority there, correct?
That is correct.
And Eve didn't name the animals. Adam did.
That is correct.
So we have naturally existing in the case of Adam before the fall,
mm-hmm.
He's naming the animals, and naming them is a type of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then in verse 23 of Genesis 2, before the fall, when God takes a rib out of Adam, he says, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Now he's naming her.
Mm-hmm.
Now is that authority?
I see the direction you're going. Yes, I do have to agree with you.
So there, he has the authority to name her.
Well, and that's true.
Okay, so there is an authority in the marriage before the fall.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you've made a good point. You've made a very good point there. Yes, you have.
Okay. Now, when Satan, before the fall, did his work in the context of the garden, he went to Eve instead of Adam. By talking to Eve, she hadn't yet fallen.
That is correct.
So he let's just say, didn't go through the proper channels.
Well, and he knew that Eve was the weaker vessel.
Yes. How could she be the weaker vessel before the fall if they're equal and pure?
Well, I hung myself, didn't I?
A little bit, but that's okay, you know.
Because a woman is, and God bless women, women are such an attribute in this society.
Absolutely.
And they're such a help meet for
Absolutely.
Men.
Absolutely.
But yet, she saw something that was desirous of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil, as he always does, he gives half-truths.
Right.
He took what God had told them
right.
and made a half-truth out of it.
Right.
Giving Eve the desire to want that piece of fruit.
Let me ask you, shouldn't she have said, and I'm not saying I can prove this case, but it would seem to me that she should have gone to Adam and said, hey, the serpent wants me to eat this thing. What do you think?
Absolutely. I believe too, but I think got caught up in the emotion of the moment.
But if you agree with me, this is a little subjective here, but if you agree with me that she should have done that, then there is an issue of being accounting to him on her
well, and also look at it like this too, Matt. Where in the heck was Adam at this time?
Well, hold on. Let's stop before we get there. That's another question. But
okay.
Have we pretty much made the case that there is a bit of an authority structure before the fall in the marriage
yes,
context?
Sir. Yes, sir. I agree with you now, Matt.
Okay, good.
Right. There was.
Now, there is. Now we've settled that. Okay, good. Now we can go on to this thing of, hey, you know what? Why was Adam? Why wasn't he with her? Well,
yeah.
Maybe he was a different part of the garden. You'd think that if the devil was as smart as he is, that he would have waited until she might have, in her own curiosity gone over here, looked over at that plant, and he was, the garden was big. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it was big. So, I mean, it's not like they're within 30 feet of each other all the time. I mean, Satan would obviously wait till they're separated at some point. So Adam, we can't prove it, but it certainly makes sense. He wasn't right there with her.
Well, and that's true. Yeah. You know, I figured up one time roughly what the square miles of the Garden of Eden
really
was. And
how many
square I think
miles?
I came up with 458,000 square miles from like Kuwait clear over to Jerusalem and then from there up to Mount Ararat.
The Valley of Eden or some place of Eden was big, and that the garden was in Eden. People don't realize how big that area was.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely huge, you know. Yeah. But yet the very center of it was different than the Garden of Eden itself. I mean, the core of it was in a smaller area, but there was a lot of square miles in that too. Right. However, God put that tree in the center of the garden is what he did. But I'm getting off on a rabbit trail here, but getting back to what you're talking about, where was Adam at this time?
In the garden someplace.
And good point. You know, I mean, big garden, you know,
yeah.
Adam's out probably taking care of one of the animals.
And, maybe he was naming some more. Who knows? I'm going to call you an aardvark. Yeah. Who knows? I probably wasn't at that point. But.
Yeah.
But it would, I would assume, with validity, I think that it's fair to say that Satan's going to wait till she's alone and then approach her.
Well, and that's how he does. He's very subtle. And, you know, that brings up another issue, too. You know, I've learned more about the devil, and not that I'm trying to give him any credit, because I don't, but the thing I've learned more about the devil since 9/11 by observing what the terrorists do. By observing those terrorists, Matt, you get a keener insight as to the subtlety and the treachery of the devil.
That's right.
You know, but anyway, listen, I met you downtown one time here about a year ago. Uh-oh. There was a conference downtown at one, I think it was Boise on the Grove. I live out here in Napa.
Okay.
And I met you and chatted with you a little bit, and I read your articles sometimes.
Was I nice?
Out of the newspaper.
Was I nice?
I'm sorry.
Was I nice to you then? I don't remember. Sorry.
No, you weren't. You were really... No, I'm just kidding. No, you were polite. I shook your hand, and you wouldn't remember me anyway, but we kind of shook hands, and we just kind of passed, you know, in passing.
Okay.
But
people have told me that they're surprised when they meet me. I mean, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but they go, man, you're a lot nicer in person. Than, you know,
well, yeah. And what you do on the radio, I think it was Friday night, mm-hmm. You made a statement. You said, look, if you folks think that I should stay on the radio, email me and give me an email and give me a yay or a nay. And I've only been listening for a couple of weeks, but bottom line, not trying to patronize you or anything, I think you're doing a great job, and you need to lean hard on people on the radio, because what has happened in this country, Matt, is people have fallen away from a final absolute.
Mm-hmm.
And that final absolute is the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's either a black or there's a white issue. And men got to take the lace off their britches and start standing up and being men.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
You know, just a bunch of... Now, I'm going to burn some hides, and I don't know, maybe you do this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think one of the things that men give up their authority on is when you see, I got to laugh, you see women driving down the road and the guy's sitting in the right-hand seat.
Well, you know? Maybe he's kind of, maybe, yeah, it's not a big deal. I noticed that too, though. But mostly men drive or in control of the situation, you know, right or wrong. But maybe the guy's, you know, he's got a side ache or I don't know.
I don't know. But they have. Men have just, you know, they've kowtowned under women. And what will naturally happen in a marriage, if a man doesn't step up to the plate and do what he's supposed to do, the woman's going to step in there and she's going to do it. You
That's
know?
Right. The women will. Man, I hope I don't get in trouble for
children involved.
I hope I don't get in trouble for saying all this for my wife when I get home.
If your wife is listening.
Nah, she agrees with me. She's a good woman, except for taste in men. But she's a great woman.
Yeah,
she is.
That's good. That's good.
Okay.
Well, listen, I'll call you another time when you – I'll keep listening. I do have to tell you, I heard something funny from you the first time I listened. It was a couple weeks ago. I'll see if you remember this. You were talking on the radio, and you had a listener on, and he said I think you were talking about some particular issues you had in your own life, and I might be incorrect in what I said, but I think you said you had a learning disability or ADD or something like that.
A little Asperger's syndrome.
I'm sorry?
A little called Asperger's.
Yeah, then this guy said, well, that's okay, Matt. I've got more issues than a National Geographic.
I know. I've been using that.
Do you remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago. But
yeah, I've said that several times. Yep.
Go ahead.
I do. I've used it several times. I've claimed it for my own. I stole it outright. That's
I have stolen that also. I tell people now I got more issues than a National Geographic. That was classic statement.
It was. But it's like I liked the one when someone told me one, that guy over there, man, he's really a scholar. He's got more degrees than a thermometer. And so I'll use that one too. I like that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think you're doing a great job, and I'll keep listening. And if something comes up, I'll call you back, and
don't let
your blood pressure get too high.
Heresy. I need a shirt. Someone's got to send me a shirt. So much heresy, so little time.
Yeah. Dude, are you going to church anyplace in particular?
We're looking. We went yesterday, found a church, went looking, and, we're looking.
Am I allowed to say on the air a church that I think you should go to?
Which one?
You got to go to our church.
Which one is that?
North Valley Baptist Church.
North Valley?
Out in Eagle, Pastor Jason Herring.
Oh, he sounds like a fishing guy.
Jason Herring.
Yeah, sounds like a fishy guy.
He's what?
Sounds like a fishy guy. Herring?
It was pretty bad. Yeah, there you go. He's a young man. He's a little bit younger than I am. Great pastor.
Well,
we're trying
to find a church. We're trying to find a church where this is. It's really simple. I've actually thought about asking people to tell me. You know, email me. We want praise music. We just don't like hymns. I'm not knocking them. The hymns are fine. We just don't survive well in hymns. That's one thing. And just a personal preference. That's all. And no children in the congregation screaming. We don't
Absolutely.
Mind children. We won't go to churches because they have children that are out of control. I just can't handle that. I prefer Reformed theology, but I'll listen, you know. And here's a problem. White guy preaching, okay? Because normally it's, and then let's turn to John chapter 3.
Yeah, what a weenie.
Yeah, come on. You know, I don't want to hear the white guy. I want to hear the kind of preaching where, you know, I like the ethnic groups. Man, they just go to town on it. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm hoping for. So we're looking for that kind of stuff, and you can't have women pastors and elders, and you can't teach that baptism is necessary for salvation. That's what we're looking for. It's not a whole bunch. We can't even find it.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. Give me your email, and I'll email you, and I'll give you an address with the times.
Okay.
And
well,
if you
just email me
out, you know, come on out, and I'll even give you my phone number and give me a heads up, and I'll look for you.
Well, you never know. My wife's going to go to one church. I'm going to go to another. We're going to split our efforts up and
Well, I'll tell you something. I know you're just about ready to get off the
air.
Yeah,
we got to go. I got like 15 seconds.
I just come out of a legalistic church 10 years. And I'll tell you what, I had to shop for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I shopped for a long time before I finally found this, and I like it.
Got to go, man.
Music's going.
Hey, love you. God bless. Sorry, man. We got to go. Okay. Hey, folks. Sorry to cut him off like that, but that's just the way it is at the time. And really enjoyed that call from Art in Nampa. Praise God. Hey, folks, look, what I'm saying is the truth. It's not easy sometimes, but that's the way truth is. Believe God's word. Start there. Back up. Get your ducks in line and then move forward. Okay? Oh, man, it's tough being right all the time. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow night. God bless. Bye.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.
Challenging and informative Christian radio, this is Solid Talk. KSPD Boise, AM 790.